manger lane.
Seven years ago today.
What's that you say?
Mr. Marley died. 7 years ago this very day.
Would it be too much to ask that you return to the work for which I pay you so handsomely? Mr. Cratchit!
The fire's gone cold, Mr. Scrooge.
Come over here, Mr. Cratchit. What is this?
A shirt.
And this?
A waistcoat.
And this?
A coat.
These are garments, Mr. Cratchit. Garments were invented by the human race's protection against the cold. Once purchased, they may be used indefinitely for the purpose for which they are intended. Cold burns. Cold is momentary, and cold is costly. There will be no more coal burnt in this office today. Is that quite clear, Mr. Cratchit?
Yes, sir.
Now, please get back to work before I am forced to conclude that your services are no longer required.
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
And the same to you, Mr. Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. I said, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Surely you don't mean that.
I do. What's Christmas but a time for buying things for which you have no need, no money? Time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Come now, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it has done you.
There are a great many things from which I might have derived good, from which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I've always thought of Christmas time when it comes round as a good time, a kindly, forgiving, charitable time. A time when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely to their fellow creatures. And so Uncle Lurt has never put a scrap of gold or silver into my pocket. I do believe that it has done me good. And I say, God bless it.
Not a sound from you. And you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
You guys recognize the movie? What is it? A Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol. It's actually one of my favorite Christmas movies, and you guys are really noisy. I love this. I really do. This is like really watching a movie right now, you know? You guys making all that noise. But I looked it up. There are actually, one website listed 57 different versions of A Christmas Carol. From a silent black and white version released in 1910 to Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol released in 1962. Then we had Disney's Muppet Christmas Carol. Yeah, I figured that was the one most people would know. And then Disney also released an animated version in 2009 starring Jim Carrey as the voice of Scrooge. Even Doctor Who had an episode called A Christmas Carol in 2009. But the clip that I was showing was from the 1984 version starring George C. Scott as Scrooge, and I watched it earlier this week, and it was just so good. This is a really good version to watch. Now, in the opening scene, just for those of you that aren't familiar with the movie, we're introduced to Bob Cratchit, right? Bob Cratchit, that was Bob Cratchit, the father of Tiny Tim. We learn about Tiny Tim later on, and we're also introduced to Fred. He has the Christmas spirit, right? We know those people. They come in, the happy, you know, Merry Christmas everywhere they go. But he's the nephew of the star of the movie, and the star is Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, Ebenezer is a rich man. He can be described as a good businessman, a hard worker, and even a harder boss. But unfortunately, he's stingy, he's a tightwad, a miser, and he hates Christmas. He hates Christmas. Ebenezer is bitter, angry, and lonely as well. Now, as the story goes, this is not biblical part of it right now, but on Christmas Eve, he is visited by the ghost of his old friend, Mr. Marley. And he visits him in the middle of the night to warn him that he needs to change his lifestyle. And then he tells him that there are going to be three spirits, three ghosts that are going to visit him throughout the night. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And so he's visited by these three ghosts, and they show him the tragedy of his life, the tragedy of his life, and it changes him. And he wakes up in the morning, on Christmas morning, and life is entirely different for Ebenezer. So let's watch a couple minutes of when he wakes up from on Christmas morning.
What day? Hello, you there, boy!
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fellow. What day is today?
Today? Well, it's Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day? I haven't missed it. The spirits did it all in one night. Well, they can do anything they like, of course they can. Hello, my fine fellow!
Hello!
Do you know the Poulterers in the next street but one, on the corner?
I should hope I did.
Intelligent boy, remarkable boy. Do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging there?
What, the one as big as me?
Delightful boy. Pleasure talking to you. The one as big as you.
It's hanging there now.
Well, go and buy it. Yes, go and buy it and bring them round so that I may tell them where to deliver it. Come back with the man, I'll give you a shilling. Come back in less than 5 minutes, I'll give you half a crown. I must dress myself. So much to do. I don't want to lose any time. I was light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. Merry Christmas to everybody. And a happy new year to the world.
So he's dramatically different, right? He has a smile on his face. He has joy in his heart. And the reason is because he's given a second chance. But his second chance is a chance at being generous. At being generous. So he begins to practice generosity. First, he buys the prize turkey from the market and has it delivered to his poor employee, Bob Cratchit, and his family. Then he donates to the poor. He tips choir singers as he's walking by, and then he accepts the invitation from his nephew Fred to come over for Christmas, and he does. He goes over there, and he meets his nephew Fred's wife for the first time, and he speaks kindly and gracious to her. And at the end of the movie, I'm spoiling this for you if you haven't watched it, but he doubles Bob's salary, and a key to this is he commits to paying for all of the medical expenses for Tiny Tim, because Tiny Tim had huge health problems and probably wasn't going to make it otherwise. And Tiny Tim survives and becomes very close friends to Ebenezer. So Scrooge, we all know Scrooge, Scrooge finally finds joy. Now that shouldn't surprise us though, right? Because we know that there's joy in generosity. Jesus was quoted by the Apostle Luke in Acts chapter 20 saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And in the book of Hebrews, the author states, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." God is pleased when we are generous. And then Proverbs 19:17 says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done." And I just love that analogy of when we are kind to the poor, when we give to the poor, it's a loan to God, and God will repay us with interest. The reality is that God has called each of us to be generous, and we will find joy when we are generous to others. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That's where we're going to be today. It's a scripture about generosity. It's written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, which is in modern-day Greece. And he's talking about an offering, an actual offering for the poor that Paul is arranging to help the poor in the church in Jerusalem. And he's encouraging the church in Corinth to be generous. So we're going to read verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know that about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Now, our key verse for today is verse 2. Let me read this. "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." So the Macedonian churches had experienced joy with being generous. And Paul wanted the church in Corinth to experience that same level of joy. So today, I'm going to talk about how we can have that kind of joy this Christmas season by being generous. So today's message is simply titled, Real Joy, Real Joy. I'm going to share three ways from the scripture that we can find joy in generosity. But first, let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word that is true and guides us and directs us. So Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit to come today to speak through me. Give me the words to say. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that we would receive from you. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and our minds. Because Lord, it is definitely more blessed to give than to receive. But we sometimes lose sight of that. So remind us of that today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to fill this in on your handout, I have 3 points for you. Real joy is found in being generous with, number one, our time. Our time. Verse 6 says, "So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part." So Titus was a Gentile believer and a traveling companion of Paul. He had stayed in Corinth to minister to the church there, and then he later rejoined Paul in Philippi, and then Paul sent him back to the church in Corinth with this letter with the intent of helping the church raise money for this offering for the poor. Now, both Paul and Titus showed their love to the church in Corinth by giving of their time. By giving of their time. They stayed there with them. They lived with them. They taught them scripture. they invested a ton of time into the church in Corinth. So that's one of the ways that we can be generous with our time. But time is one of the most precious commodities that we have, right? I mean, does it feel like there's never enough time? Does it feel like that? In America, I know that's definitely the case. And what's crazy is that we have so many time-saving devices, right? And yet we don't feel like we have enough time. You know, if you think about it, compared to just like 50 years ago, how things have changed around here. We have so much more time on our hands than our parents or our grandparents had. For example, preparing dinner, right? It takes so little time compared to how it used to take. We have microwaves that can warm up our food in just a few minutes. And if we don't want to wait for that because we don't have enough time, we can just make an online order, right? And they'll bring a hot meal to our door, and we don't have to spend any time preparing it. Or about how about shopping? It used to be, right, you'd have to walk down to the corner market or even go into a store. We don't have to do that anymore, right? We can order our groceries online, drive up, and somebody will bring it out and put it into the back of our car. Or, I don't know about you, but Amazon's been showing up at our house like daily, sometimes twice a day, you know? Takes so little time to shop anymore. Or just traveling, right? I'm not even talking about back in the day when they were in wagons and, you know, on bicycles. I mean, when I was growing up, the speed limit was 55 miles an hour. Can you believe that? Like 55. I can't drive 55. I just had to throw that in there. but now it's 65 miles an hour, 75 miles an hour. On a toll road outside of Austin, Texas, it's 85 miles an hour. Who wants to drive to Austin just to fly around there for free? And if it takes too long to drive somewhere, we can fly, right? And Allegiant flies right out of South Bend. I was looking this week, and you can fly, even now, in December, between now and Christmas, you can fly down to sunny Sarasota in just a couple of hours for $100. Isn't that crazy? Who's going to go get one of those tickets like right after service? Yeah. So what do we do with all of this extra time that we have? Because we do. We have a ton of extra time. We spend it on ourselves, don't we? Most of the time. Most of the time. We spend it on ourselves. Watching TV, playing video games, scrolling through social media, doing some hobby. But I don't think that's what God had intended when he gave us all of our extra time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So I believe that when we save all of our extra time for ourselves, we're losing out on opportunities to find life. Some of our extra time should be spent on others instead of saving it all for ourselves. And when we do this, we will find more joy. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to spend some of your time on others. I know many of us are like, oh, we have this family get together. Should I go? Or yes, you should go. And I would encourage you, don't be the last one there and the first one to leave. Like, invest time into people while you're there. Or, you know, the company Christmas party. Should I go to the company Christmas party? Yes, go. Invest time into your coworkers. This Christmas, talk to those around you, your neighbors, the singles here at the church. Make sure that they have something to do on Christmas Day. And if they don't, invite them to come over for dinner. Invite someone to go see a movie with you. And I believe that if we are more generous with our time this Christmas, instead of saving it all for ourselves, we will have more joy. We will have more joy. And others will have more joy as well. For some of you, others will have more joy. Others, yeah. No, I do. I think that we, as we invest into others, they will have more joy too. Here's your fill-in. Sometimes the best gift to give is not a present, but our presence. And it makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference. So real joy is found in being generous with our time. Number two, real joy is found in being generous with our compliments. Our compliments. So Paul starts out by complimenting the Macedonian churches. He says in verses 1 through 5, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us." Paul doesn't hold back as he's describing the churches in Macedonia, right? He's saying they were eager to be generous. They gave more than they should. Nobody was twisting their arms. See, Paul is taking time to brag about these churches, being very kind with his words. But he doesn't just compliment those churches. He also compliments the church in Corinth. He says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." So Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, guys, you are awesome in your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, in your love. And Paul is just sharing and giving a ton of compliments to both of these churches. Now, how good are we at giving compliments? How good are we? Anyone struggle with giving compliments? I know I do. And I can be encouraging, but there are times in my mind I think, I don't need to tell him that or tell her that. I don't want them to get a big head. Isn't that like the dumbest thought ever? Like we actually hold back on our approval of others because we don't want them to be conceited. Man, that's between them and God, right? Our job is to encourage, to exhort. In fact, Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Paul's telling us, don't criticize, but encourage. He's actually saying, build them up, right? Say those words, then encourage others so that they can have maybe just a little bit of confidence in their life. Now, the thing about giving a compliment, unlike time, is that it costs us nothing, right? I mean, we can give a compliment with no cost on our part. And yet, the person you compliment will be so much richer. I know for me, preparing a sermon is not something that comes easy to me. And so there are weeks when I work on it and I'm right next to God, you know, during the sermon prep. But I feel like, you know, after Sunday services and Sunday afternoon, I feel like, oh, that went pretty well. And then there are other weeks where sermon prep did not go very well. I was looking for God. I couldn't find him all week, you know. And so I deliver the message, and Sunday afternoon, I'm like, I don't think that went very well. I'll feel that way. But you know what? I'll get a text almost every week from my friend Lyndon Bontrager, who is one of the most encouraging people that I know. And he'll tell me, man, that was awesome. Great message. Whether it was good or it sucked, it didn't matter. He will say, that was awesome. Way to go. And I know that about Lyndon, that he's just an encourager, you know? But it still feels good, doesn't it? Right? When someone encourages you, even when you know you didn't do super well, I mean, it still feels good. All right, so we are going to take a moment. All right, so go to the person on your left or your right and give them a compliment. Ready? Go. Go. Now, if you've received one, you need to give one. So it shouldn't be just one way. Turn around, give one back. All right, that's enough good cheer. That's enough. So here's my question for us. Was that difficult to do? someone says yes. Well, yeah, maybe you could do it a little more often. It gets a little easier. No, it's really not that hard, right? But when someone gave you a compliment, how did it make you feel? Just a little bit better, right? Just a little bit better. Like it's spreading the joy of God, the joy of Christ, by giving each other compliments. Now, my hope this Christmas season is that those of us here at Lighthouse, we will be complimenters, right? We will be complimenters. And the reality is during Christmas, we get to hang out with people that we don't normally get to hang out with, some friends and family that we haven't seen in a long time. Man, go in, start off with a compliment. Don't sit there and wait for people to talk to you. Go up to them and let's be generous with our compliments this Christmas season. It will bring joy to you. It'll bring joy to them. So that's our second point, is real joy is found in being generous with our compliments. The last point is this: real joy is found in being generous with our money. You guys knew this was coming, didn't you? But this whole scripture is about money. The Macedonian churches were filled with joy in the midst of their financial generosity. And a lot of historical scholars, biblical scholars, will say that there was a huge famine in the region during that time, and that the churches in Macedonia, they were poor and they were hurting. And yet, out of their poverty, they still gave abundantly. Verse 5 says, "And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." So they gave first of all to the local church, to the Lord. And then they later then gave extra above and beyond to the poor. And that's what we're called to do as well. We're called to tithe 10% of our income to the local church. And still, that's not enough. Still be generous to the poor around us. And when we do this, God will bless us. And his blessings will bring joy to us. Malachi 3:10 says this: "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." When we are generous with our finances, God will bless us. And I'll just tell you, it is joyful to walk in God's blessings. So a couple of weeks ago, Michelle Mann, you can come on up here, Michelle. Michelle was just sharing what God had been doing in her life, and she was talking about how God had adjusted her family to be more generous, and how God has blessed them as a result. So I've asked her to come on up here and to share her story and what God has taken her through. Let's all say, "Hi, Michelle." Hey, Michelle. You're not nervous at all, are you?
Yeah, no. Not at all.
Not at all. All right, go ahead. Is that right?
Okay. All right. So my husband, Denny, and I have been married since 1997. By our one-year anniversary, our first baby was on the way. Within 24 hours of Kevin's birth, he was in the NICU and had taken his first ambulance ride before he was a week old. The weeks and months following that time were when I realized we were facing some hefty financial issues. You see, we had started our marriage in debt from each of our individual lives. Add to that a gambling addiction, and then medical bills from childbirth and two different ICU bills. We were in over our heads. We had been giving when we could to our church, but nowhere near a tithe. I thought people that tithed were crazy. There were so many other places our money needed to go. But I believe God honored our attempts to pay our bills and still be giving to our church when we could. Baby number two came before we knew it, and then baby number three came. I was 7 months pregnant when we learned that there were major problems. We knew we would be facing major medical bills again if our baby even survived childbirth. Long story short, 2 months later, we were planning our baby's funeral. I could not mentally handle the thought of having to make payments on our child's funeral. So I basically quit paying the other bills for a few months. We weren't giving to the church, we were behind on bills, and there was still the gambling addiction. Our church showed up that Christmas with a gift card to get presents for our kids and food to have Christmas dinner. That moment was so humbling, yet so beautifully showed Christ's love for us. We ended up declaring bankruptcy, but God was faithful even when we weren't. He met our needs. The Lord always provides. We decided we needed to be faithful in giving to the church again. Over the years, life kept happening, and we were able to work up to a 5% offering. In the last few years, Denny was put on disability and forced into early retirement. We had about a year when we had little to no income from him. But during that time, God provided again and again. We were somehow able to pay the bills on time. We had enough food to eat. We were definitely living paycheck to paycheck, but by the grace of God, we pulled through. When his pension was finally approved, we were excited to be able to give to the church more faithfully. We had started attending Lighthouse. Pastor Clint challenged us to begin or at least work up to a full tithe. So for 1 month, I increased what we had been giving, and then the next month, we sensed God telling us to trust him and to do the full tithe. We've been tithing for about a year and a half now, and we've been able to do many things like pay down our debt, help out our kids when they've had emergencies. We've donated to several local charities. We were able to adopt a family last Christmas. That was such a blessing to be able to come full circle from being the family whose church showed up at the door with food and Christmas gifts to paying it forward to another family in need. Most recently, we were able to sponsor two kids from the Dreamland Children's Home. I'm really looking forward to getting to know these kids. I want to share with them how God has provided for us and that I believe he will provide for them as well. I'm already working on our budget for next year to continue these sponsorships. It truly fills me with joy to see how good giving to others feels. God will forever be Jehovah Jireh to me. He is so, so good.
What I loved about her story is just the simplicity of it, right? Life happens, we stop giving, and life gets harder and harder. But as she became faithful in giving to God first, all of a sudden, life started to line up. The blessings came in. And not only is she tithing to the church now, but their family is able to give above and beyond. And it's in that above and beyond giving, I think, that we find so much joy. I know that this next year, those orphans that are being sponsored for education will be having so much joy as a result of our sacrifice over here in the United States. So let's be generous people this year, okay? This Christmas season. Give it to those who are in need. Don't just walk by that bell ringing person, right? I mean, put some money in the bucket. Buy somebody's groceries at Walmart. Spend a little extra on the Christmas gifts. Spend a little extra. Let's be generous. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." With the measure you use, It'll be measured to you. So your last fill-in is this. If we want to be blessed big this Christmas, then we need to bless big. So real joy is found in being generous with our time, our compliments, and our money. I'm going to invite Rose to come on.